The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, peteevans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Tom Barnett is a holistic health practitioner and mindset coach covering diverse topics from law, culture, and sociology to human health and spirituality. To find out more about Tom Barnett, please visit his website, tombarnett.tv. That's tombarnett.tv. Tom, thanks so much for joining us. How are you, brother?
Great, Pete. Really good to see you.
I love your shirt, Just Flow. Tell me about being in the flow.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things that a lot of people, they know it because they've felt it. For me, it's about being connected to all things and connected to yourself. And when things are in flow, basically nothing can go wrong. Even if something happens that your ego might think, oh, I don't know about that. If you're in flow, it's just still going to the right place. And it's such a relaxed way or a blissful way to go through life, no matter what's happening in the external realm.
Now, we've had the pleasure of connecting over a beautiful lunch at some friends of ours and sharing in a conversation, and it was beautiful to sit opposite you or with you. Looking into your eyes, I could tell you're a man of authenticity, and your eyes sparkle with clarity. And I wonder what that is in relation to what you're talking about of being in the flow as well, because I see it in certain people that I come across, this just crystal clear vision in their eyes. And I always ponder what that is, whether it's an indication of just physical health or is it something more? And I don't mean to be judgmental for people that don't have that, but there's something about certain people like yourself, and I'm just curious whether you're attracted to that as well when you meet people.
I am, most definitely. You know, it's one of those things, even in doing photography, one of the things that I really like to focus on when I have the opportunity is the eye. It just speaks so much. It just speaks so much to me. And I mean, I see it in you as well. Obviously, I think that's a mutual thing when you see something in somebody to that degree, you know, you see that effect. It's something that is recognized. And sometimes to recognize it, you have to maybe know what it is and have recognized it in yourself as well. So I see it a lot in kids. You know, it's one of those things that makes me very optimistic about the future, is that no matter what's going on, I find that nature is a self-regulating system. So when the powers that be turn the world to a place that people get a little caught up in that story and start playing out that narrative, and the world starts to take a certain turn. I think nature's self-regulating, and part of that is bringing forth new life that is like, you know, that bit more, it's a different frequency to us. You know, I've looked into the eyes of kids and I've just gone, I know you're more advanced than me. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so I think, and that's in the eyes that I see that.
So true. It is so true, because you do meet these children that just are crystal clear, because they're not operating out of any belief system probably just yet, except for what an adventure this is, you know, and they're just curious about the world. And I wonder whether that is that curiosity that keeps the eyes open, which keeps the eyes clear, which I had Kelly Slater on the podcast, I think about a year or 2 years ago, when I asked him the same thing. I said, because I was fascinated about surfers, and being a surfer myself, one of the things I wanted to ask him is, being a surfer, and I know you are too, is that it's one of the only sports these days, I think, that we're trained to look at the horizon. And I've been thinking about a lot since I spoke with Kelly about that, and how many people actually get the opportunity these days to have such a long vision into the horizon, or into the future, or into the unknown, so to speak. And I went surfing today and yesterday and the day before. It's been pumping all week, and it still brings me great, I don't want to just say pleasure, but great gratitude to be sitting in the ocean, being able to look out as far as the eye can see. And I don't know where you want to go with this, but I'm fascinated because of your eyes. And I feel like we should be in the flow here as your shirt says.
Yeah, yeah.
And just go with it.
Sure. I mean, I find the same thing. And I definitely find that the curiosity is the thing that does give a sparkle to the eye, and also a longevity and a youngness, a youthfulness, no matter what biological age that somebody gets to. And, you know, it's as soon as you think you know things and you've closed your mind off, you're no longer open in many ways. And I think it's that remaining open and that, you know, that wonder, the everything to do with wonder. And that's the curiosity. And you get it in surfing, especially, well, anything like that that really tests you, because you can never really master it. Like Kelly Slater, you could consider one of the best, if not the best surfer ever. But even still, he'll tell you that there's no mastering that. It's just you're still looking for something. You're always feeling into something different and new. And that keeps you young. I believe that even when he's 90, 100, you'll still have that sparkle, because it's like, it's the light, right? It's the light just doesn't go out. That curiosity keeps that light just on and really bright.
Well, that was one of the beautiful things that I witnessed this weekend, surfing the local break. And because it's been so good for the last 5, 6, 7 days, like extraordinarily good, the waves have been pumping, they've been consistent, the sky has been blue, the water has been clean, the marine life has been abundant, and even going to a localized, busy spot, I got to witness kids from a very young age all the way to grandparents, maybe even great-grandparents that are out there doing the same thing, and they've got this huge smile on their face. Yeah. Usually the smile comes because there's been a few days of good surf and they're not just cramming it all into one day to get the fix. But there's this look of elation and satiation, if that's the word, or satiated. You know the word I mean. And I just wonder how good that is for our soul and our spirit. And I'm using surfing as one example, and because I know you're a life coach or a coach for human beings to reach their optimum. And I wonder what is in that you would like to teach people about being satiated on something that they love.
I think it can come in anything. Music, I see it a lot as well. Art, dancing. Mostly it's something, it doesn't have to be physical, you know, it's just something of a creative nature. I find surfing is very creative because no two waves is the same. So you could take downhill skiing or skating, for example, skating a half pipe. The half pipe is a constant. It never changes. So you can go to the same point and drop in the same way every single time to perfect a trick. But even that, even with that constant, there's still no limitation as to the creativity that can be put forth within that activity, because there's an infinite variety of ways you can approach doing that and what you're creating in the moment, the energy that you create. So with surfing, it's something entirely different because no two waves are the same. And so you're always having to be super present in order to create your line on the wave. Or do you just relax on this wave? Where are you looking? What are you feeling into? Are you trying to actually perfect a maneuver, for example, or practice or get better? Or are you literally just standing and feeling the energy of that wave move and your connection to it? It's one of my favorite parts about surfing is the absolute purity of connection to nature, because you're immersed in it. It's the most natural activity, but also to everything in life, as you know, Pete, is just waves of various frequencies. And when you can see the physical representation of that in the way that the ocean creates its waves, and you can tap into that and ride with it, it's something that's very profound. You know, you would have had many experiences yourself, as would anybody. Even your first wave, you'll remember that probably for the rest of your life. So there's that element of creativity that comes through very strongly when it comes to something such as surfing. But as I say, I think you can find it in any activity where there is a genuine immersion in the present moment and nothing but that. It's a purity of being in the moment and creating from it. And so it'll never be the same no matter what. If you're in that place and you sit down with some crayons, then if you're in the present and you're so connected to yourself and you're coming from pure creativity, you'll never create the same thing twice. And that, I believe, is tapping right into the nature of life, which is constantly in that kind of state, as opposed to the mind state more, or, you know, being a little more disconnected and more into the mind and closing down, not asking questions anymore and losing that curiosity.
Beautiful. I loved hearing you speak, my friend. One of the things that I've come to realize is that my perception on this journey of life is, when people talk about purpose, I've come to realize for me that it is about expressing ourselves creatively, as you're talking about it, and being in the present moment. And I wonder if that is something that you observe, that we tend to, as we get older from childhood into adulthood, whether it is potentially conditioned out of us, potentially it is something that we rebel against. Or give me your take on this, because the more I think about it, the more I am heavily invested in sharing with people that creative expression is sort of one of the be-alls and end-alls of our experiences.
That's a huge question. Thanks, Pete. That's awesome. Yeah, well, you know, I do think it's conditioned out of it, actually, out of us from birth. I think the way we come into this world in and of its own is so unnatural, unless, of course, you were blessed with a home, water birth around, you know, a doula and things of people, and not being disconnected from your parents straight away in your cord, and you're surrounded by natural stuff as opposed to masked people and fluorescent lights in a sterile environment. You know, I think there's from the outset, it's meant to be conditioned out of us. Once we go through school, we're essentially entering what I believe is an indoctrination system rather than an education system. So rather than encouraging creativity and individual thought, we're all kind of crammed into the same box where you have to tick all these other smaller boxes within that big box. And you come out the end either a little angry like me because of the constriction, or you're like molded to that way of being where now you're just going to go straight to college, get a job, pay your taxes, do all the stuff you meant to do, get a bit of a retirement fund together, and then hopefully follow all the rules from that day forward. So it's said that all children are born with divergent thinking. There are many different types of thinking, but divergent is one of them. And it essentially means that if you were to ask an adult how many ways you could maybe close a door, they might give you, well, you can do it three times, or three ways. You could push it, close, you could pull it closed, or just two. You can close it two ways. And so their idea of a door is cemented in their mind. Whereas if you ask a kid, for example, or anybody who has divergent thinking intact, they might not give a direct answer straight away. They'd say, well, what kind of door? Like, what's it made out of? Does it have a handle? Does it open and close on a hinge, or does it slide? You know, what weight is the door? Like, a door is not a door because of a construct of the mind. We are able to find other avenues of thought based on what the question is, so that we're not just going to a finite answer when we're actually in an infinite world. So that's said to be gone within 2 years of the schooling system. And so by the time somebody gets through their primary school into secondary school, they're really rigidly indoctrinated into what is essentially the Prussian educational system, which is to breed willing and obedient workers that are expendable and replaceable, but which all sounds doom and gloom. But as anybody can attest that's listening to this, a lot of it does remain intact. We do get to get a good measure of the ability to observe from that. So I find that as long as somebody is able to observe themselves and observe what's going on around them, then they can make that association or disassociation and therefore keep their own kind of power intact, their own sense of the self, as opposed to being their sense of self is a part of the societal mind, the greater mind that is essentially part of that system, which is based on approval or doing the right things, ticking the right boxes and getting your forms in at the right time and having three forms of ID on you at all times and doing everything you're told. That can give people a sense of self because it's attached to a greater part, but it's not really serving them. So as long as we can observe that, then we can maintain our own sense of purpose and passion and power and everything else that, you know, leads to what we're talking about earlier, that being in the flow as opposed to being pulled along by the current that is essentially made for us, but we can choose whether we're part of that or we find our own flow through life.
Mm. You use the word power, then I want to explore that with you because when I first came to hear about you, you had made a pretty powerful video statement at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, and it went viral around the world. And when I watched it, one of the things that I noticed about, or the first thing that really penetrated, was your power of conviction with what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. It was a powerful channeling, I would say, of your spirit. And let's talk about power, individual power and authentic power. And what does that mean? And because one of the things that I read early on in my adventure of this world was that one of the greatest fears people have is of their own potential, of their own power. So talk to me about how you embrace your power and help others to share their authentic power.
Well, in all honesty, I think I have that fear as well, that fear of how powerful, well, what that power can look like. Like, I'm fully aware of that. I think that we're muted from that. It's hidden from us how powerful we really are, and we find glimpses of it throughout our life. I think Indigenous culture, that's what's taught to them. It's what we miss out on in ours because we're not meant to know how powerful we really are, what we're really made of and what our purpose here is. So the power, I think, comes from, first of all, an understanding that there's a difference between power and force. So we think of people who are powerful in society as those who are, you know, politicians and CEOs and super rich billionaires and things like that. But generally, they get that way through force. So force has to come at the expense of an energy, whereas power tends to create energy. They're almost at opposite ends of the spectrum. We can think of them in the same way, that it's a great amount of energy being put into something that it can influence or it can change or it can break through or whatever. But force to me is something that we exert, that is something that almost goes against the grain or the fabric of reality, whereas power comes directly from the source and it's effortless. So it can move mountains, but only because that's in the flow of the nature of things, and we're tapping into something higher, as opposed to tapping into something lower within us that is trying to impart or exert force into the world around us or even onto ourselves. And hence so many people become burnt out, and because they're trying to force things. So to answer the part about power, I think that it's really getting more in touch with ourselves and who we are and where we come from. What are we really? Because when we can get close to that, we feel that immensity of the power that is, that comes through us, that creates life. And that can be the scary thing, because that can be that tightrope thing. That can be like taking off on your first 6 foot plus wave and feeling that amount of natural power. And you can just go, whoa, am I ready for this? Can I maintain this? Can I work with it? Or is it going to destroy me? So when you get past that stage of when you can fall into the trust aspect of that and feel and ride with that without having to control it, then that's when a lot of things start to really drop in and make sense, I find. For at least for me, that's been my experience, is when I started to find that, and then I didn't resist it and I allowed it to be and not try to control or judge it or force it, then it became a much a more calm element. And it's funny, because I find with myself that the more power I've been able to, and this is only a personal thing, it's not saying like I'm powerful, I have power over others. It's not that kind of power. It's that resonance that just comes through, the calmer I've become. So you would think maybe that the more power you might build or tap into, things could become more frenetic or more whatever you might think. But it's, for me, it's been the opposite. It's made everything a lot calmer. So I actually really, really interested to hear your take on it as well, Pete, if you want to share.
Yeah, it's interesting, because if you watch any of those superhero films, whether it be Marvel or DC or anything in that superhero realm, where they always have the villain that wants the power, wants more power. It's always like, if you get too much of it, then it becomes that volatile where it can tear you apart. That seems to be a common theme in those sort of stories. And it's great that you talk about that, that it actually makes you even more present, more calm, more in the flow, so to speak, because I see power as being authentic, you know, walking your own path despite what is going on. And sometimes walking your own path is in unison with other people. So it doesn't always have to be that you have to fit out. Possibly at this point in time, 2020, 2021, your authentic path and my authentic path is potentially walking in a different path than the majority. Possibly, you know. Or perhaps there's a lot more people that want to walk in that path and use their voice, use their power, use their authenticity, but they're still sitting back going, I'm scared of my potential. You know, I think we're at this point in the game, so to speak, this game of life, what's manifested over the last 12 months, I would have to say that there really is no more excuses for anybody not to understand the dangers of what is happening at the moment, the potential narratives that are playing out. Even today, looking at the USA, where they have shut down certain pipelines or pipeline that delivers power, talking about power to the gas stations. So it's a gas pipeline. And that was a cyber attack, potentially. Mm. And a few months ago, that was already predicted, that this would potentially happen because it's part of the agenda. So for me, it's we're at a point where, again, I'll say there's no more excuses for people not to be informed with the different narratives that are playing out. And the conspiratorial narratives have proven time and time again predominantly to become the truth. You know, whereas the, you know, I probably wouldn't have said that 5 years ago. Whereas now it's like, okay, well, things have shifted so dramatically and so fast, and there seems to be a growing awareness and a growing movement. And I know that you're one of these people that have stood up and are championing change in the local community. And I'd love to talk to you about that, because I was speaking to someone the other day and they said you had over 500 people, nearly 1,000 people turn up to a meeting that you had in one of the local towns here in northern New South Wales. I could be wrong about that, but I'd love to understand what it is that you're offering the community by holding these, are they weekly meetings or monthly meetings, or take us through that.
Sure. So I haven't organized any of the meetings. It's generally not good for the people who have the profile. You know, I'm kind of known for speaking about things. It's generally not good for those people to be the ones that also organize things, because they're generally targeted. So we've got a good team of people. It's not any one individual doing anything more than the group. So we've got a good group. And that's part of the community. You know, I don't ever believe that there's ever going to be one personality or leader or oracle or anything to that degree that's going to be the change for everything. It has to come from the ground up organically, and that comes from the community. So we've got a great group of people, like a large group of people that help to put these things together and call in action when action is needed. And that was brought about by the Easter restrictions that were imposed on the Northern Rivers, well, particularly the Byron Shire. And we could all see it coming. So this is two things. One, it shows that the community can spring into action and galvanize when necessary. The other thing, though, is that it's kind of a reaction. And while I think that it was amazing that we did get a large number of people come from the community to come together to, first of all, recognize what's going on, but not dwell on it in any way, shape, or form. Everybody was very positive. Nobody was in fear about masks, lockdowns, QR codes, anything that could be coming. Everybody was very much in their hearts and grounded and looking to the solutions. So we as a group have many solutions. We handed out, various, well, I won't say what they are in case people find out what they are and get, but it's just tools. Handing out tools that can help people to deal with the agenda and education, empowering people as to how to go about navigating it, because none of it is, first of all, legit on a legal or a lawful level. And so empowering people with what that means and how to go about it is, you know, something that I think is missing. It's also the whole idea of consent, because nothing can happen in any way, shape, or form without our consent in one way or another. So it's learning how to become more in your own sense of self, which is empowerment, which is power again. So actually, quickly to answer your last question, because I realized I didn't answer it, is how do I help others to find maybe that in themselves? Well, everybody has it. So it's not really a case of learning anything new. I really feel it's a case of remembering what we may have forgotten because of distractions in life and maybe not been given the right circumstances or education throughout our formative years. So remembering it is really just getting back to, and that means getting back to nature first and foremost. I find the more connected somebody is to nature, the more grounded they are, then the more power that they can feel into and, I guess, exude as well. So I find when you meet somebody, like you were talking about at the start, somebody who just has it in their eyes or it radiates from their very essence, you can feel that. And those people generally have a very good connection to themselves and nature. That's the first thing. So there's a lot of other ways you can do that as well. You can gain that responsibility gain that power through responsibility and discipline. So how well do you eat? What do you know about what you're putting in your body? Are you aware of that, or is that totally not part of your field of awareness at this point in time? The food you consume, the water you drink, the thoughts that you have, but what you expose yourself to. Are you on screens too much? What kind of screen? Are you watching mainstream news? Are you on Facebook too much, letting people share all kinds of fear porn all over the place? And what is coming into you? What are you discerning about, and what are you disciplined with? Do you have a practice? Do you want to get up at sunrise and enjoy, you know, the majesty of that time of day and get out into the ocean or wherever you live, you know, just to enjoy the environment in whatever way that takes place? Or would you prefer to sleep in because you stayed up till 2 o'clock using the internet and Instagram and stuff, you know? So we really form that, first of all, by remembering who we are and where we come from and then connecting back to it. I think that that's really, for me anyway, if I'm helping other people find it, that's the element. But really, the responsibility is the key part, because responsibility is the polar opposite to the system that we're given, which is like a teat. It's like, insert the teat into the mouth and suck on that. What does that look like? Benefits and privileges from the government, from being told what we can and can't do, from being given processed food, from being given microwaves to prepare food, which isn't preparing food, which is the point. The more we're in that, the less responsibility we have, therefore the less power. So the opposite of that is taking back that responsibility and saying, thanks very much for these benefits and privileges that you're offering and the convenience. However, I prefer to reserve my rights and do exactly that, embody my rights that I'm born with and my own sense of power. So I can source food from my own local environment.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.